Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to episode 20 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast. Today, Ingo and I thought we were talking about unsatisfactory sex and unsatisfactory partners in sex, and what this developed into was a really great, fruitful, deep conversation about how shame, about how our judgments, about how our thoughts, basically about what's going on in our head, gets in the way of us having the most amazing sex possible. So really listen through to this whole podcast, because the conversation takes many curves and corners that could be really useful and really bring up and trigger different ideas for you to explore. At the end of the podcast, we also talk about our 2025 workshop and retreat and festival program. So if you're interested to hear about what we've got lined up for 2025, again, listen all the way through to the end. Hope you enjoy this podcast. Take care. Bye-bye. Hello there, beautiful Ingo.
Hello, Jason.
Welcome to episode 20 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast.
We have been at this for, what, more than 9, 10 months, something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is the 20th episode.
And, wow.
Today, should we talk about what we're going to talk about today?
Yes, so the topic, today's topic.
This is a really common thing that I hear often from men in our workshops, retreats, online. And it's basically, I can't find good sex partners. The sexual partners I have are unsatisfactory, or the connections that I have are unsatisfactory. And I think there's many different ways that we could approach this, because there's a whole range of different ideas that come up for me. So some people listening will be either in a long-term, maybe in a long-term relationship, maybe in a monogamous relationship, and maybe there's some things around sexual issues or sex not happening in the way that you need, want it to. There's also something about more brief encounters. Good old Grindr and good old other ways of meeting people for sex, for brief encounters, and also something about, you know, having tantric lovers, which we talked about in a previous episode. But in this one, what I wanted to look at, in difference to the one that we did a couple of episodes ago, is to really explore this idea of unsatisfactory sex. And there's different angles I want to take a look at, but one of those is, how present are you in the sex that you're having, and how present are you in the sensations that are happening in your body, to the process that's going on between you, and to what's happening between you and the other person? And I think there's a whole myriad of different things there.
I completely agree that these two sides, that there are two sides that need to be right. Basically, your relationship to yourself, whilst to your own body, whilst you're having sex, and that's one thing to get right. That's almost one kind of realm to work on. And then the other one is also to get, let's say, the connection, the communication right with the other person, especially if it's in a context where you know, where you don't usually talk about sex much, which can be in a long-term relationship, or it can be, you know, with someone. It almost makes me laugh, someone you just met on Grindr, and you have met, you know, it's a few seconds you have met, and then you can sometimes go in with the expectation to have amazing sex, but you don't even know what makes the other person's boat, what floats the other person's boat, and you haven't even communicated what floats your boat, and so on. So it's a communication thing. So it's these two sides, I think. One is your relationship to yourself, and one is the connection to others, right?
I'm surprised any good sex ever happens at all from brief encounters.
Yeah.
Because you know, nobody talks about what anybody wants or how anything's going.
Exactly.
People arrive, it happens, and it's like down to chance or the luck of the gods, lap of the gods. It's like down to the lottery numbers.
It's really, really chance, isn't it? Yeah.
So there's something for me, first of all. And also, I want to also bring in... sex that happens in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe with a boyfriend, maybe with a husband,
mm-hmm.
and you know, maybe you've been together a few years.
Yeah.
And it's like, I also want to talk about, are you having the type of sex that you want to have in that relationship? Are you having the connections that you want? Are you having the sex that you want? Are you having the connections that you want? So I think there's several different categories.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that your best sex starts with you and mm-hmm. your relationship to sensations that are going yes. on in your body and how you are able to meet those. So what I mean by that is, if somebody's stroking your cock, okay, somebody's stroking your cock, how present are you to the sensations that are happening in your cock at that mm-hmm. time? And also, you know, if somebody's touching your chest or your nipples or your back or your shoulders, any parts of you, how present and what relationship do you have to these parts in your body? Like if somebody touches you in a tantra workshop, typically people are shuddering and having an orgasm, and people new to tantra are looking at them going, they must be fucking crazy, or they're making it up. Like, how many times have we seen in Go mm-hmm. where there's been more experienced tantric students, you know, and someone, you know, the wind catches them in a direction, and they're there convulsing on the floor in ecstatic yes. orgasm. And the person, like Bob's arrived, sorry if your name's Bob listening to this, Bob's arrived for the first time ever having even thought about this and may not have had any sex in the last 10, 20 years, and is looking going, they're making that up. That cannot be true. That cannot be real. And I think that everybody is on the spectrum in between those places. And I think that there's something about on the tantric journey, and also I think also on your sexual journey, there's something about, you know, what kind of sex do I want to have? And if I want really good sex, how am I meeting those sensations in my body? How am I fully absorbing myself? How am I totally surrendering to those? Because I think also the other bit that can be going on is the chatter of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give you a second there before I yap on about the
yes,
chatter of the mind.
I think what you're saying is one of these very, very basic questions of Tantra that, you know, we need to get right first, which is during sex, or let's say when I'm being touched, whether that's sexually or sensually or massage or something else, it's all the same. When I'm being touched in that very moment, am I being present with the touch itself mm-hmm. and how it feels in my body?
Mm.
One option. Or am I going off into some mind-created stuff, mm-hmm. into fantasies or something? Like, am I being present with the touch itself? Or, for example, am I fantasizing about what else this masseur could do to me? Or am I going off into thoughts whether I fancy that person or not? Or am I going off into some memories of, let's say, a piece of porn that I really like or something like that? And all of these things usually do happen during sex, but it's about recognizing that whenever I go off into those things, I'm not with what is happening in the present moment, which is the touch and how that works itself through my body in really amazing ways. The moment where I go off into these mind-created, let's call them fantasies for a moment, nothing bad about fantasy, but, you know, the moment I go off into these fantasies, I'm shutting something off. And that something is actually to really be with my body's reactions to that amazing touch in that moment. And when I shut that off, I shut off one of the main doorways to good sex.
Can we talk a little bit about why people would struggle to be present and may go off into fantasies and may go off into different places?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I can think of is that people, I think there can often be a insecurity. I think there's insecurities. And I also think there's something about expectation. When you move into expectation of how you should perform and be. So the first one, I believe we all carry insecurities about how we look, that we don't feel good enough. You know, for me, you know, I look in the mirror and I could tell you a whole list of things that I think are wrong. And for me, there's like all those insecurities. And I sometimes feel like I'm having a battle with those. You know, and I fluctuate between feeling confident, feeling sexy, feeling attractive, and then being able to engage. And at other times I feel insecure, not good enough, nobody wants me, you know, it's I'm not all of these things, and and then in that I can become paralyzed. And I think that happens for people in sex itself, that people can become paralyzed by their insecurities.
Yeah, that's another example, these insecurities. When you are with these insecurities, then you are basically in your mind. You're not with the pure sensation anymore. You will be with this loop, almost like, oh God, I don't like this part of my body. Is my partner going to like it or not? So you're already not there anymore.
Yes.
So and that leads, well, from a Buddhist perspective, it would lead to suffering because you're not present with what is. But from a purely sexual perspective, I would say it leads to you not feeling the full spectrum of what is actually happening to you. So you're missing the best.
Well, let's even open that up a little bit more as well. Because when somebody is going through an insecurity, for me that's coming from the mind, that's coming from the ego, that's coming from a judgment, and is likely not to be what the other person is perceiving, and also unlikely to be what everybody else agrees. And I'm not taking away from the fact that people or we would have those insecurities. I'm not taking away from that. But there's a question for me about how much do you want to believe that insecurity that you're having?
Yeah.
And for some people, they're utterly paralyzed by that insecurity to a point where they become that insecurity. And I know some people of the people that we've helped over the very long time we've been doing this, that they are still 10, 15, 20 years later, still stuck with the same insecurity because they either could not imagine a possibility of not being that insecurity, or that they've held on to it so tightly they've become conditioned around that. And again, you know, dear listeners, as you're listening, one of the things I would ask is, you know, how do you know anybody, or do you recognize parts in yourself where you're clinging on to a negative idea of yourself? And that you couldn't possibly imagine letting that go. But a Byron Katie question would be, who would I be without that thought? So for me, when you're looking at your insecurities, there's some questions of, can you just let those insecurities just bubble up like, you know, a fizzy drink with the bubbles coming up to the surface without necessarily getting involved in them? Could you just witness them, just see them as those insecurities and let them float by? And notice the ones that you get caught up in. Notice the ones that really trigger you or that really you are paralyzed by, that you really believe. And for me, those are the ones that require some work to be done in terms of how you deal with those insecurities. So as I said, you could be, and I say you choose, and that's also a controversial thing to say, that you could choose to let go of that insecurity, because you really do have choice. You really do have choice. And again, here at this point, I'm utterly compassionate that we have all been through, in different ways, different levels of trauma, different things that have happened in our lives, different experiences. And I'm not talking to the more severe cases or the more severe traumas, because a podcast isn't the way to do that. But I'm talking about, you know, those more general things that may have happened. And realizing, for me, the spiritual growth is recognizing that you have choice. You can choose whether you want to believe that insecurity or not. And a CBT method, not cock and ball torture is my normal joke of CBT, but cognitive behavioral therapy view would be, you know, around, is this true? What evidence do I have that this insecurity is true? And also, there's another bit around, okay, I've got this insecurity. I think, I don't know, I'm fat. For me, you know, I have a slight tummy at this age. I've also got another nice bits. It's like, how much do I want to get involved in that? Okay, sometimes I feel insecure about that. But other times, it's like, oh, well, you know, the information I get from other people is that they find me sexy. So whether I've got a tummy or not, it doesn't really matter. And it's like these insecurities that you carry that paralyze you. There's something about CBT method, about disputing, how you dispute the insecurity and how much power you want to give it, and how much you just think, fuck it, and you just kind of move through, or you still act the same way regardless of the insecurity. I think that's the other thing. Yes. I would say.
I like your Byron Katie question, because what you say goes right into this very fundamental tantric perspective.
Yeah.
Is that we go and, you know, after when we are born, possibly even before, but especially after we are born, with our biography, with our family, with what we go through, all of our experiences, we go through a process called conditioning. We are conditioned into many, many, many beliefs that we carry around with us, and many automated emotional reactions and all of that. This, from a tantric perspective, is all conditioning. It's real. So we cannot just say, oh, this is nothing. It's real, but at the same time, it's not the essence of who you are. What you really are is way, 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 way beyond that. You could, you know, one metaphor would be you are the ocean, and those belief systems, they're just ripples, you know, like ripples of waves on the ocean. So the question is, as you say, one big meditation in Tantra is, you know, don't believe your thoughts, don't believe your emotions, which means see them as real, but also see them as something that is not your essence. Your essence is completely beyond that. Mm-hmm. And in the way that, in the Tantra that we teach, you and me, mm-hmm. What we use, I think we have talked about that in other podcasts, is we use techniques such as multi-orgasmic techniques to break through to the direct realization that you are something that is completely beyond any thoughts, any emotions. And once you have gone through that experience, which we usually call that a glimpse, then you know what you really are, and then you will see all of these conditionings that you carry. you will see that they are still real and they can still be really painful, but you see them from a different perspective, and then you can start working with these. Does it make sense? Mm. Working with these from a different perspective.
Well, and I also, as you're talking, want to dip into what I would say, what are judgments? Like, mm-hmm. who decides whether somebody is fat or thin? Or who decides if somebody is, I don't know, what other, old or young? Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at different insecurities that we have, or I'm not good enough at sex, or I'm not good enough mm-hmm. at this person, or mm-hmm. this person is better than me.
Yes.
If you just look at all of those judgments, for me, it's like, well, who is judging that? It's like, who is mm-hmm. setting the criteria? And what we also know is that judgments are subjective. So what you may judge for you in one place, actually, if we had 100 people in the room, a huge proportion of them may be like, what on earth are you talking about? That's not, I don't see that. So there's something for me about this also, like, loop that can happen is you have a judgment, you have an insecurity, and you believe it to be true. And what some people do is they look for other people to validate that. You know, also people look for other relationships, friendships, sometimes to validate the negative aspects of themselves so that they can fulfill that belief that that's true. But for me, judgments are subjective. It's like, who's to say if somebody's young or old? What does young or old mean? Well, at the age of 10, a 21-year-old person is old, whereas if you're 81, looking at a 21-year-old, they're very young. So it's completely subjective in that way. What we also know, you know, when we talk about body shape as another example, you know, it's a huge spectrum mm-hmm. of different people's interpretations and different people's judgments. And again, who's to say what is right and what is wrong? Who's to say that? And even if you can accept that part in yourself, who am I to say whether this is right or wrong? Who am I to say whether I'm old or young? Who am I to say whether I'm fat or skinny or anything in between? Mm-hmm. Who am I? If you could just let go, I think there's something about the letting go of the judgments that can release you from the prison. So that, for example, when you're in sex and those insecurities can come up, you're not paying them any attention and they float by and you can get on with what else there is to be getting on with. Or I think also from a spiritual perspective, you can be more present with what's happening because the mind hasn't gone off to deal with 20 insecurities that you're dealing with.
Well, to bring this back to the topic, how to move, you know, in Tantra, how to move from bad sex to good sex, I would say that where you can start, dear listener, is whenever, for example, insecurities come up during sex, like a meditation, bring your awareness back to the sensation.
Yes.
Let's say you're being caressed by someone in a massage. So, and your mind goes off into insecurities. Bring your awareness back to that place where his hand meets your skin and when it moves across your skin. Mm. And you only focus on that. And that is, it's a way of being that I would say requires practice. Quite a while to get the hang of it. But what you can do is, let's say, during a massage that you're being given, take it as a meditation and bring your awareness always back to the pure sensation. So what you're doing is you don't deconstruct your insecurity or something like that, but you're basically giving your mind the signal, okay, put this to the side for a moment. Insecurity, you know, as my teacher says, sit back in the corner. I've got something else to do. And that's something else that is to purely be with the sensations.
The other thing I want to talk about whilst we're here with insecurities, we may have to relabel this podcast because we're still on the
what was the topic?
I know, we're still on insecurities. Well, yeah. The other thing for me whilst we're here with insecurities is around shame. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, how many times have we seen in workshops where men aren't able to fully express the sensations that they're feeling in their body for whatever reasons? Mm-hmm. And I think some of those reasons are about shame of being seen.
Yes.
Or shame of being witnessed in ecstasy or in pleasure.
By the person, witnessed by the person
you
are with. Yeah,
or if it's a workshop person's.
Yeah, but I probably...
Yes.
Probably for you, dear listeners, the more, you know, the more important kind of situation is, you know, if I'm being with a person.
Yes.
Let's say I met them on Grindr.
Yes.
Can I really express myself in front of them?
Yes, yes.
And most people will be like, ah, there will be some cringe in that idea, won't
there? And again, there's a whole other range of judgments that we have about being seen or witnessed in our pleasure, mm-hmm. because I think there's something about... Well, there's two things that occur to me that are competing for my brain at the same time. There's certainly something about the image of ourselves that we put out into the world of how we want people to see us. Mm-hmm. And therefore, when we're in situations, we can't be anything other than how we have projected ourselves into the world. And so I can't allow myself to, say, scream or be fully in a deep orgasmic state, convulsing, toe-curling, because actually that isn't how I'm putting myself out in the world to be. And again, this is what I call paper houses, because actually, you know, the minute that you try to build an identity or to build a construct of who you think you are, that for me is the starting point of suffering. That's the starting point of suppressing yourself, holding yourself back, not being the truer you that is far bigger than the constructed idea of you. And the constructed idea of you can often come about through insecurities. Again, coming back to this insecurities around, I'm not good enough. For whatever reasons, therefore I'm going to construct a version of myself that may be acceptable, may be desirable, may be wanted by others. But the thing for me in Tantra is that none of the way that sexual energy is deployed is based upon how you look. Yes. There is a energetic attraction that goes beyond physical attraction. There's like a soul attraction, a soul energy. When you see people that are maybe attracted to each other for something beyond the physical, beyond the physical. And there's also something in here about the freedom of being able to express who you are to the full capacity of you, without needing to hold anything back, without believing any of the insecurities that you have. And for me, work on those things, work on shame, working on being able to express yourself, working on those judgments that you have about yourself, for me, are all those initial barriers that get in the way of you having the best sex that you could have. And sometimes we would project onto the experience of the sex, well, that wasn't very good, was it? That wasn't very enjoyable. And we can make the sex itself wrong, or we make the other person wrong, when actually what might be being driven is all this stuff that's going on with us.
This reminds me of some of these tantric experiences where, for me personally at least, it's like when I first experienced my sexual energy, what I now know is really my real sexual energy, and that was in Tantra. It's like an energy that is infinite and that will take control of you. You almost have no control in that, And whenever I try, you know, whenever I try to then go into one of these identities that you're talking about, oh, but I'm actually a top who needs to be in control or something like that. Then and but what's coming up is far, far beyond that. Mm. Or, oh, I'm actually a well-behaved person and my sex needs to be well-behaved. Mm. I'm suppressing something. But once you get, once you open this energy and you get on board with this energy, it feels like almost something overwhelming, that something it's like an infinite energy you need to get on board with, mm-hmm. and you don't have much to say anymore. Actually, your analytic mind doesn't have much to say anymore. It's like something infinite taking over, mm-hmm. that you are, yep. you are that, yep. but when you connect to it for the first time, it's going to feel almost alien, almost like not you, because your mind is going to say, oh, wait a minute, but I'm, oh God, but I'm a top, or I'm just a bottom, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm well behaved, or I'm not into that type of sex, I'm rather into this type of sex. Mm-hmm. But all of these things, they basically fly overboard, and something bigger than you takes over.
Mm, it does. Thank you. The other insecurity I think we see quite often is, I'm just a giver. I don't receive. And for me, that can feel like a very safe place to put yourself. Because if you're just giving in sex, you know, and that can come down to, I just give out blowjobs to people, and that can feel, you know, enjoyable. Or I just give to the other person, that can be a place of putting yourself into a safe space so that you can't be hurt. And there's always, for me, whenever I come across this in people, there's this little voice in the back that sits there that says, what about me? You know, some of you listening may identify with yourself as feeling like you're permanent givers in sex. And actually, there's something about, you know, well, actually, what about me? And there's an insecurity. And again, there's a layer of conditioning here that it can be very well trodden shoes that you've been in a giving role for so long that actually some of you listening may just be like, I actually don't know how to receive. And we take that even one step further. I don't even know what desires or fantasies I have, because actually what I've been focused on is the other person's pleasure and making sure they have a good time. And again, I'm sorry for this, the shadow part that can be, so that one, they love me or they appreciate me or I feel needed. It could be those or other ideas. But again, that being in a giving role, because to receive in sex, there's something about making yourself vulnerable. There's a vulnerability.
So it basically what you are saying, I completely agree with this. It can be several things, mm. or a combination of several things. It can be like, as long as I'm giving, I'm in control.
Yeah.
And I actually don't want to give up control, mm. and make myself vulnerable. Mm. It could also be, I simply don't know what my desires are.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be, as you said, really importantly, it's like, I need to do something for the other person, because otherwise I don't feel worthy.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
You know? Yes. So all of these...
worthiness.
Blocks, yeah.
Oh my God, that's a massive one. Worthiness, yeah. to receive pleasure.
Exactly.
Can be a total roadblock.
I need to give something first, mm. in order to maybe receive later, but I'm never getting there, because I'm always feel that I'm not giving enough.
Let me just talk to this worthiness part.
Yeah, exactly.
Because for me in Tantra, there is this universal belief, mm-hmm. that everything is bliss. Mm-hmm. Like that is the starting point of the universe. And bliss for me is the perpetual state of orgasm operating at a constant frequency. And that everything else is a step away from that. But that is the truth of who we are, that we are holding. We are vibrations, universal vibrations of bliss. This is the enlightenment, to realize that is the truth of you. And everything else is what we're dealing with that gets in the way of recognizing that. So for me, being is being in a human body, being in a body, there for me is a universal right, or that you already are this pleasure, this orgasm, this ecstasy. So it's worthiness is not even a question. You are already those things. And it's like, how do you put yourself in places, situations, and experiences to experience them on your own, share them with others in all different contexts?
The question is how to get there, how to get to an direct experience of that. And practically, you know, with this giving and receiving, one thing that we do in Tantra very practically, and that you, dear listener, you can do this in any sexual or sensual interaction, is to basically say to the person you are with, how about this? How about if we divvy up the time that we have together 50-50 and say, first half, I'm giving, you're receiving. Second half, you're giving, I'm receiving. And we are really going to stay in these roles. Because if you structure your time like this, you're actually putting out, you know, you're putting out a structure that is going to teach you so much. Because when you're really in that receiving role, you know, you might struggle with it at first. It might feel awkward. You might not know what it is that you want to receive. You might feel out of control, all of these things. But actually, all of this, really letting yourself go into receiving, teaches you something. And if you do this often enough, this is the gateway to what you just mentioned, to realize that your bliss is already in within yourself. Yeah. This very, very simple ritualizing of encounters that you have with sex partners can actually, it's actually a kind of meditation that can bring you very, very, very far in the knowledge of yourself as that person that deserves to receive.
And again, I think there's a piece of homework for everybody to do around how do I let myself deeply and truly really receive in, as Osho would describe it, a totality. How do I totally allow myself to receive? And if you explore that for a minute, what's required is a letting go of any judgments, any shame, any ideas you've got going on. There's also what you're allowing yourself to do is to express through sound, through breathing, through your body, to really, really meet what's happening. And for me then, in Tantra, when those two things happen, this is then starting the process of what I call journeying. And there's sometimes sexual encounters that you can have with other people that feel that have gone what I would call interdimensional. So it's like where it's gone beyond the normal physical mechanics, but that there's something else happening. There's something else available. And again, this is like steps into tantric sex.
Yes.
There's steps into where the sex then becomes not just about the mechanics, but actually it becomes about something more. It becomes an exploration. It becomes a journey. Mm-hmm. It becomes a shared experience way beyond the sex that people normally have. I don't know if that makes any sense at all.
That makes complete sense. But it's like, I think these, for someone who hasn't experienced this, I think it's these two really important things that we mentioned until now in this podcast is structure your time into clear roles of giver and receiver. And if you're receiving, go really, really into the sensations.
I think that's one way.
Yes.
Equally, there's sex doesn't always happen in that mechanical way. I think that's one mm-hmm. ritual that's incredibly mm-hmm. useful as a tool and would be one of our top tips.
Yes.
To allow yourself into that role of receiving.
That's how I mean it, yeah.
But there's also another way around how does sex happen organically? Mm-hmm. And what conversations are you having about sex beforehand?
Oh, yeah.
That is enabling mm-hmm. it to happen organically. So I think that's a really good idea, the first part, to structure that. You know, hell, well, you're...
We haven't even talked about what you're just mentioning. We haven't even talked about communication and connection yet
yes.
in that way. Because, as you say... If you know, in order to let it happen organically, there needs to be a process of communication before.
Yes.
Basically, and of connection. It won't, as you said before, it won't happen just by chance
yeah.
with a person you don't know, for example.
Yeah. Maybe that's another podcast.
Ah, yeah.
We are getting mm-hmm. towards the end, would you believe, of our time together on this podcast. And I just wanted to like recap a little bit about what we say, because I think we started around, I'm having rubbish sex and I can't get mm-hmm. the sex partners I want. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's like an overriding theme. But I think here, what we've talked about in a lot of detail today is where our insecurities can get in the way. So I'm probably going to relabel this podcast around, you know, insecurities and also things yeah. around shame that come up about us and actually how, you know, we've given some ideas and suggestions about how you may be able to move past those and surrender yourself more to what's going on in your body. You know, we've talked at length about that.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, we are almost at the end of our podcast for today.
We are. So, what would be some of the top things that we just said today? Let's just bullet point those through. One for me is mm-hmm. that there's something about disputing the judgments that you have of you and your body and
yes.
and what you think about that.
Yes. The other one is when these judgments or any insecurities come up during sex,
yeah.
to always bring, like a meditation, your awareness back to
your body.
The touch that yeah. you're receiving.
Yeah. And then there's something we also said about disputing the judgments that you mm-hmm. have. Are they really true? You know, if you put 100 people in the room, would all 100 people say that? And also, does it really matter whether what's going on with you... again, I've said this in previous podcasts, and I'll say this again. In my 16 years of working as a tantric practitioner, tantric coach, tantric masseur, my best clients were not always the best looking ones. My best clients were those like we're talking today mm. that were able to cast aside all of this about themselves
yeah.
and just be able to meet what is happening in their body
exactly.
and be present to that experience. Those were like the best sessions that we ever had.
Yes.
Listen. Dear listener, we hope today has been useful to you and that it's been, you know, I think, you know, for me, the title of this podcast would be around insecurities and shame mm-hmm. as blocks to having the best sex. So I
yes.
think I'm going to relabel this as that. And I really hope that's been of service to you. Please pop some comments in if you want to talk about that or if this has brought anything up for you. We'd be very mm-hmm. welcome to hear that. And at the time that we release this podcast, we are starting to be getting towards the end of the year. And we are looking towards what Ingo and I are offering you in 2025. And it's our intention to be both sides of the pond. So definitely both in the UK and the USA. We're just going to give you a quick summary. We start the year in May mm-hmm. Doing a weekend workshop about...
In London,
about Tantra, Kink, BDSM. If you're interested, that should be on the website at the time the podcast
yeah.
launches. Then we're hopping across the pond to do a retreat in upstate New York, one of our diploma weeks. So really deep, profound
that
Tantra
is
week.
Not, that is not just one of our diploma weeks. That's a brand new diploma week
it
that
is.
We have designed. It's called Birth, Sex, and Death. Uh-huh. And we have, you know, be prepared for a really, really
profound,
for quite a trip, so to speak.
Is that, I mean, for me, that really speaks to people that are interested in exploring literally the topic of birth, sex, and
yes.
death. And we have quite a few surprises up our sleeves, because it would be like, you know, how would it be to attend your own funeral? What would people say about you? How does sex and death and tantra kind of fuse together? And we have some rituals, really deep, profound week. Only 5 places left for that one. And we're also then hopping back across the pond, Ingo. And we are
teaching the same thing again, the same retreat, mm-hmm. birth, sex, and death, but this time in Glastonbury, mm-hmm. UK, it's the second week of July.
That's it. And then at the end of July, I'm going to do another London weekend workshop around ultimate tantric massage. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in tantric massage, that is a really beautiful weekend to be part of.
And that brings us to late August,
uh-huh.
At which time, always, every time, end of August, it's our festival, the Tantra Love Festival.
In Glastonbury?
In the UK.
Yeah. We're already well developed in the plans for that. It's been an amazing, amazing week. And then we hop across the pond, and I'm starting a mini tour, doing 4 weekend workshops.
It's a full tour. 4 workshops. It's a full tour from coast to coast.
It is.
Boston.
Yes.
Miami. Palm Springs.
Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Uh-huh. So Boston, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
Palm Springs.
Yes.
And Bay Area.
San Francisco.
Coast
actually
to coast.
In San Francisco this time.
Ah.
And
okay,
also before that, at the early part of October, there is going to be a brand new event that we're doing, again in upstate mm-hmm. New York. It is the brother to the Tantra Love Festival called mm-hmm. the Tantra Love Experience. Over 50 men, over 5 days, and I'm bringing in some very special teachers and facilitators to that. Then, Ingo, at the end of October, we then hop back across the pond.
And where in Glastonbury.
We start with a London weekend.
Ah, okay.
In the middle of November. And then we've got a Divinity of Bliss Diploma Week in the middle of November in beautiful Glastonbury. So listen, really full year. Very exciting. Details on our website, tantraforgaymen.com. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. I think it's been slightly unexpected for us, but I think we've picked on really good topics. Ingo?
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ingo. Thank you, dear listeners.
Thank you, my darling.
And we'll see you on the
next
podcast.
Thank you, dear listeners. And see you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So I really hoped that you enjoyed today's podcast with Ingo and I. It was our joy to share and explore this with you, and a surprise to the content and where we went to. But yeah, really good topic. I really hope that that served you. Listen, if you want details of all of the workshops, retreats and festival, just check them out on our website, tantraforgaymen.com, and look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Take care till then. Bye-bye.